It is Beyond the Sermon, episode 23.
Woo! Hit it, Reed.
Yay. We're ready, guys. This is the post-hurricane edition.
Post-hurricane.
We have been rocked like a hurricane around here, so we are ready to dive back into Beyond the Sermon. We know that our groupies have been missing us, and so we are here to deliver once again. The crack cocaine of podcasts.
It's just not the same if we're not in podcast heaven, though.
You know, we had to relocate from podcast heaven because the air's not working in there. And if you would like to fix that for us, you can be the next sponsor.
Yes.
We will shout out to you. And so if you're from Canada, you can come down and fix our air. Whoever wants to come fix it. Come on down, and we'll let you take care of it. So
we could use some Canadian air down here.
Yeah. We could use some Canadian air. It would be very, very nice. So I'm Michael Kennedy, lead pastor at North River Church, sitting here in the Holy of Holies.
Oh.
My office.
Behind the curtain.
Yes.
Beyond the curtain.
Beyond the curtain.
With a name for the podcast.
That's good, wouldn't it? Adam Reed, family pastor.
Run a machine.
Here.
What's up, bud?
I'm well.
You just finished your Mountain Dew, or are you still working on it?
I've not finished it, no.
Okay.
Still working on it.
Still working on the Mountain Dew.
It'll give us some good air time.
That's it. A lot of air on the out.
That's right.
And Scott Curlin.
Woo-hoo!
What's up, buddy?
Glad to be here.
Yeah, he is.
It's been a whirlwind 2 weeks.
It's about time for a new haircut for
you. It's getting there. You know, baby girl did this last one for me.
Did she?
Did a good job with it.
Listen, it was baby girl's birthday yesterday.
It was.
Was it not?
It was. We celebrated with Sister Hazel.
Is she 30 yet? She's not even 30.
She's 29, holding strong.
There you go.
She'll be 29, I think, at least 10 more years.
And
then we'll go to 39.
Yeah. ready to roll from there.
That's right. I could tell you her age. She doesn't listen. I mean.
You could probably tell us a lot.
I know, right? Seriously.
Yeah.
Every time she says, I should probably listen to that, since I feel like, you know, we're talking about
folks
her.
Folks are talking about her. So. No, that sounds good. Well. Guys, we survived Hurricane Irma.
Yeah,
we did.
So
we need to get t-shirts made.
We survived.
I'm a survivor.
Pretty good, yeah. So anyway, let's all put our cards on the table. Us Georgia boys all evacuated.
It's true.
Like smart people.
Right.
We evacuated and we made it back. So that's good.
We made it.
We've figured out now what the system looks like to evacuate, when we need to leave, and when we need to leave to come back.
That's right.
Things are getting back to normal as far as we can tell. We had 2 weeks where we were not able to meet on Sunday or on Wednesday, and so we are ready to get back in a normal routine starting this week, Wednesday night, RCX, and then we will kick back off our worship at Williams Elementary School.
Yeah. Can't wait.
Sunday at 9:30, be good. And word is, we may be having a new sound booth in the next couple of weeks come through. New board.
Yeah.
Right?
We're excited.
It's going to be good.
We're excited. It's got some, it's definitely some features that will help us in some ways that we have, we've been missing out. So.
Does it have auto-tune?
You know we're working on that.
I really would love a deep, deep voice.
Yeah.
You know, if you could work on that for me, that'd be good.
I can hear you like a more of a Marvin Gaye type.
Nice. You know, I could preach that. That'd be good. We'll let you know how that works out. So stay tuned to the podcast. So here's the thing. Scott, you heard the message from Saturday night.
I did.
We want to say a big thank you to Emmanuel Baptist Church for allowing us to use their facility.
Mm-hmm.
And their pastor, Scott Douglas, who is Dr. Scott Douglas.
Doctor.
He is. He actually has a real doctorate, too, unlike mine, you know. So, his is legit. So
it's cool.
But we were grateful to be able to use that facility for worship and for our kids' space as well. So thanks, Scott, if you're listening, which I know you are, because everyone listens to Beyond the Sermon. So we talked on Saturday night about, what did I name it? I don't even remember. What was the title? Come on, Scotty.
It's bad. I got it here somewhere.
It's bad. I didn't title it going in. Come on.
Oh, come
something,
on. What is
something.
It?
Reality and relief.
There you go.
Boom. There we go. Reality and relief.
Podcast. podcast app.
There we go. So that was from Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 18, going all the way down through verse 30. And so if you're listening and you did not listen to that message, shame on you for not being at church.
Shame on you.
We do know that there were three couples or so that were at the Florida game that night.
Yeah, yeah.
And I sent them a picture. It was actually a Lifeway study that was done. And they said, let me see if I can find it real quick. The Lifeway study said, the question among churchgoers, or the statement, I would skip a weekly worship service to watch my favorite football team. Okay? So that was the statement.
Right.
Now listen, 68% said strongly disagree.
Wow.
That's impressive.
They were all the pastors.
15% said somewhat disagree. Which I don't know how you somewhat disagree with something. Anyway,
depending on who they're playing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Maybe, yeah.
Good game, SEC or bad game.
Yeah, that's true. 10% said somewhat agree that they would skip. 5%, only 5%,
wow,
said that they would skip a weekly worship service to watch their favorite football team.
Maybe they thought it said, we'll skip worship weekly to watch my favorite football team.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Like every week.
All I know is I sent that to a person who was going to skip the service on Saturday.
Right.
And they sent back and said, I'm in the top 5%.
That's right.
So
narrow is the path.
That's it. That's it. So anyway, if you weren't there, go back and listen to the message. And we actually Facebook Lived it.
Yes, you can still watch it.
Yeah, you can watch it. And we actually had people tuning in all the way from London, England. They were our church members, but they were tuning in.
Still pretty cool.
It really was. It was neat. So it's had a lot of views.
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, 17 were my mom and your mom, but, you know.
So that's 34 out of
that's right.
37, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's good. I may have gone in and watched myself preach, you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, goodness. Anyway, back to what we were talking about, which was Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 18, where we talked about reality and relief. Mm-hmm. And we started off by kind of giving the main idea that Paul wants us to understand, which is verse 18. He says that I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Yeah, I think one of the things that stuck out to me just thinking through that first verse, which kind of summarizes what we're going to talk about during the rest of our time together, but it just reminds us that regardless of what we may hear from so-called pastors, preachers, or whatever, that the Christian life is not guaranteed to be an easy road. That it's a life that we should expect, and we often experience suffering in that. And yet our minds, for Paul here, need to move beyond that suffering to recognize that it's just a small blip on the radar of the glory that we will get to experience when Christ returns or we go home to be with him. And so with that kind of set as the foundation of the passage, then Paul goes in and talks about creation and that creation is longing for its redemption, that it's longing to be restored to what it used to be, which would be before sin entered the world in Genesis chapter 3. And so that was the first part there of reality, that we live in a world that's broken because of sin. And so things like the hurricane that we just experienced, things like losing loved ones or any number of things that we could experience that would bring about suffering in our lives, those things are just reality in the world in which we live. And so I think it's important for us, and it's often helpful for us when we're not in the middle of one of those situations, to reflect on the fact that that's true. And so, you know, I think it's helpful for us to think through that, to be able to remind ourselves when circumstances are good, when things seem to be going really well, when there's no major issues or things like that, to remind ourselves that that peace in the midst of a chaotic world is not normal in terms of the way in which the world's broken because of sin. So you guys have any thoughts on that?
I think one thing that came to mind Saturday, when you're preaching the first part of this passage is just, maintaining an eternal perspective, not keeping our eyes focused on our current context. Although don't get me wrong, there are times that we need to focus on what's around us so we can minister and so we can be the hands and the feet of Jesus here. But we have to maintain that eternal perspective. We have to maintain what verse 18 is referring to, which is, the glory that is to be revealed to us, and that we have to remember that the suffering that happens here, though it can be so much and it can be tragic and it can be at times almost unbearable, and yet it's just a little blip on the radar in terms of, our eternity. And so God is certainly with us through that. And if our eyes are on Him, and if we maintain that eternal perspective, then even though the sufferings can be very weighty, they don't hold us down, because God is certainly lifting us up through that.
And I think it also echoes, that verse 18 where we started, of considering the sufferings of this present age are not worth comparing to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. It kind of echoes and goes along with where we've been in James, in James 1, where he talks about considering it great joy whenever you experience various trials. And then kind of the progression through there with it leading to endurance in its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Ultimately, realizing that it's God is at work in our lives, even through the suffering, even though it's painful, even though it is not pleasant at the time, God is at work, and His goal is to bring glory to Himself through us, and to other people at the same time. And it's not always easy. It's not always pleasant. It's not always the way that we want to look at that. But it requires us, though, to, I think, look at it from a perspective of just finding that joy and realizing that God is, still working in and through us in that way.
Yeah. I think it's important for us to think, too, as believers, and just be reminded of the fact that people often ask, when things like this hurricane or a tragedy or something like that happens, the first question is why?
Right.
And specifically, if you're a believer and someone knows that, why would God allow something like this to happen? Why do bad things happen? And it's a reminder that, that sin is really a big deal.
Yeah.
And what was broken in the fall in Genesis 3 has effects even today, not only on us individually, but us collectively. If we think about weather or some of those things, all of us deal with certain things, whether it's a weather event like a hurricane or cancer or any of those things. It's a reminder that the reason that we walk through those things is because of sin.
Right.
And we'll talk in a little bit about God's purpose in allowing those things to happen. But I think it's a good reminder for us to be able to point people to truth in that, and be able to remind them and help them maybe even get a glimpse of the gospel and why we need a Savior, what does the future look like, and what does it look like when all these things that we're talking about now are gone, and Christ returns and those things. So we talked about creation, just the reality that creation's broken and longing for redemption and longing to be renewed. But then we began in verse 23, and I talk not only about creation in general, but even us as believers specifically, when Paul says that we ourselves, and by that he's talking about believers, he says, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, meaning that the Spirit of God's dwelling within us. We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Paul reminds us that not only is creation in general longing for its redemption, longing to be restored, but also even us as believers, even though we're saved, even though we have the Spirit living within us, we still live in broken bodies that that will experience death unless Christ returns prior to that. And we are looking and longing for the day when Christ returns, or we go home to be with Him. So anyway, I feel like, not to be depressing, but I mean, that kind of Paul doesn't mince words. I mean, he says, listen, here's reality. Creation's broken, and even though you've been redeemed, you're not experiencing the fullness of what you will experience when you're face-to-face with Jesus. And so I think it's helpful for us to remind ourselves of that reality. And then we come in, and we talked about reality followed by relief. And if we just end the passage there in verse 25, it would have been kind of depressing to walk away from that.
Right.
And yet we see the relief that Paul gives us through the word here, beginning in verse 26, where he talks about in our weakness that the Spirit helps us when we don't know what to pray for. The Spirit intercedes on our behalf. And so I was very honest with our church Saturday night and just said, listen, there's times when, you know, times like this, when people have lost homes, people have lost their lives. There's just times when you look and you go, gosh, I just don't know how to pray about that.
Yeah.
You know, conversation Janie and I had back and forth was, you know, you sit back and you look and you think, man, how do we pray about the storm coming?
Right.
You know,
because
if you pray that it misses us,
mm-hmm.
effectively you're praying that it hits somebody else.
Right. Yeah.
And is that right? You know? I mean, it's like, how do you do that? Is that the right thing to do? And so we, you know, just sat back and thought through, you know, some of that. And I think these are those moments when we just really don't know how we should pray. How we should seek the Lord in a certain situation, and yet as believers, the relief in that is that the Spirit intercedes on our behalf. And Scott, any thoughts that you had on that?
You know, I think one thing that
you don't like to pray. So,
no,
man,
I don't. I don't. I avoid that at all costs.
You don't like to read.
Now that is true.
We as a staff have been
unfortunately
supposed to be reading a book together. And
hey, for me to get through one chapter, that's a pretty big deal.
That's big.
I feel like I should get like a sticker or something. I mean,
we'll hook you up. We'll take care of you.
Oh my goodness! No, I think one thing about this passage that comes to mind is just that there is still mystery involved in the faith. You know, that we're not going to have all the answers. You know, we're not going to. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't seek the answers and seek truth. But you know, when Paul speaks of the hope that is seen is not hope, right? For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. In other words, we're not going to have all of the answers, all of the every little question we might have, because there are some questions we have. Like you said, I mean, it's a very difficult thing to pray for,
yeah.
And it's a very difficult thing just to wrap our minds around. And yet our hope is in Christ alone, and nothing else. And,
yeah.
And so we hope, in who he is and what he's done, and trust that he will somehow, even through disaster, even through what might be, just an unbelievably tragic day for some, that God somehow could work good through that.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we could clearly understand that a hurricane could hit Gainesville,
right,
and
I mean,
take out the swamp
as it should, right? I mean, I didn't just say it, right? You can see in your eyes.
We could pray in that direction.
Are you talking about the Miami Hurricanes?
No. I'm talking about the Gators.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
you can see in his eyes. It was like there. He's like,
I knew it was
I gotta
coming.
Work on a Gator.
Oh man. So, but by the way, not to hijack the text or anything, but
right.
Congratulations to the Florida Gators.
You know, the 5% were needed at that game.
They were
needed.
Tennessee.
that's right.
So,
that was good.
Enjoyable to see.
We got to watch the end of that game with some Florida fans, some small group friends,
yeah.
After our service on Saturday evening.
Yeah.
So that was especially enjoyable to be able to watch them while they watched the game.
That's good.
Yes.
Adam, anything on Spirit helping us in our weakness, interceding on our behalf?
Yeah, I just think of, as Paul was talking earlier in the text, and we already talked about a little bit of the times of suffering, and even the times of suffering that, I've walked through or I've walked through with somebody else, whether it be through, as you mentioned, the loss of a loved one or, a divorce or, whatever it is, there's never a good thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I think this verse reminds us of even when we don't know what to say, just being there with people in that time means a lot to that person.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know I've walked through some difficult times with some friends, and I just didn't know what to say. And we'll get to this verse in a little bit, And mm-hmm. I even told my friend one time, I was like, I mean, I could quote you what would it be, a coffee cup verse of,
I mentioned that.
We know that all things work together for the good. It's like, I mean, I could quote you that, but that's not going to help really in this situation at the time. And, just being there and saying, God, you know the pain that my friend's going through, the pain that I'm going through. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I don't know what we can do to help them or help me through this tragedy and what's going on. But realizing that we do have a God who cares about us, who hears our prayers, and even when we cannot voice and put together words, we have a God Jesus who's sitting right there at the right hand of God interceding on our behalf. And that should be comfort, and
mm-hmm.
that can be help during those difficult times.
Yeah. So I always, I had somebody say this to me, they were talking about pastorally handling situations where there's really no good words to say. I mean, you can't really say anything. And, they said, show up and shut up.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, those are the two things, show up and shut up.
Sure.
You don't have to say a word. Just your presence there.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so I think that's certainly helpful as we think about that. And even as we think about that for our own lives, when we walk through difficulties, that the Spirit's always with us.
That's right.
And He's always there. So I think that's certainly an encouraging thing. We looked and moved on the relief that the Spirit intercedes on our behalf, but then also that God is at work in all of these situations, making us like Christ.
Yeah.
And I think I made a point to remind our church when we gathered that, that coffee cup verse, that we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. So we can't separate that from the rest of the verses.
Right.
Which talks about us being conformed to the image of Christ.
Right.
And so working together for good in our lives is not necessarily changing our circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
It's not wiping away the suffering that we may be going through, but it's in those moments, it's when we've walked through that we are confident God is working in our lives as believers to make us look like His Son, Jesus.
That's right.
And so that's what's good. It's not that our circumstances have changed. It's not that that we can expect brighter days ahead necessarily. It's that God's work in us is being complete, and it's making us look like Jesus. Yeah. And so I think it's certainly helpful for us to remind ourselves of that. The reality that creation's groaning, we're longing for the day when Christ returns, and then the relief that when we don't know what to do, what to say, that the Spirit intercedes for us, and that God is constantly at work in our suffering and our difficulties to make us more like His Son, Jesus.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that gives us the hope to be able to walk through those difficult seasons. So that was basically what we covered in the message on Sunday. So, or Saturday. It wasn't Sunday.
That's right.
Man, I was greeting people saying hello, good morning.
good morning, yeah.
And,
it was
tough.
It's pretty different.
Yeah, I was having a hard time reminding myself that it was Saturday night. So
I had people talking to me and asking me questions, and I was like, yeah, I'll take care of that tomorrow when I get in the office. And I was like, tomorrow's Sunday. So
that's right. That's what I was saying, man. It was weird waking up Sunday morning and not going anywhere, you know. So
it really
was.
That was
kind of a crazy experience. So,
yeah.
But anyway, we are back on this week, so we're going to dive back into James chapter 3, and so we'll be jumping back in talking about wisdom from the Lord this week. And so I think that'll be a good message to come back to. Anything we need to remind ourselves of, guys?
I guess so. There's a few life groups that are actually kicking off this week. Given the storm and then all, you know, everything that kind of unfolded there. And so I know we've got at least a group kicking off tonight, one kicking off tomorrow,
yeah.
Several certainly on Sunday. So that's exciting.
Sweet.
And we keep seeing people sign up, which is very encouraging.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to tell you completely wrong, but I think it was right around 140 people,
awesome.
Give or take, who were
nice.
Signed up. And,
that's great.
So really, really exciting to see people get plugged into groups. Many, I think, for the first time even, which is especially exciting. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Students did meet Sunday night.
We did meet Sunday night. Start a new series going through the Book of Romans as we were looking at some different themes that are in there. And so... so we kicked off again, I guess. It's been
right.
Sunday night.
Restart.
And then we'll do the same with our RCX crew, our kiddos, on Wednesday night at Williams. So we're looking forward to get back together with them.
Absolutely. No, that's good. I do want to make one announcement.
Oh, yeah.
It's an exciting announcement.
Come on.
This Sunday will be Pastor Scott's one-year anniversary.
What?
Yeah.
It's been a good year.
It has.
Bring your sweatbands.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, I should wear my sweatbands.
You ought to wear your sweatbands.
I haven't worn it on a Sunday.
And no shoes.
No shoes.
To lead worship. That would be amazing.
Yes.
I like it.
That's awesome.
That's good. Well, good deal. Well, we will see you for episode 24, hopefully, God willing, next week.
Yeah.
And the creek don't rise.
Come on.
There we go.
If Maria doesn't come this way.
I know. Maria,
too soon.
Maria. Yep.
We're gonna work our intro music for next week.
We do need some better intro music. If y'all have any recommendations of intro music,
that's it.
But
we will leave you with one important thing to think through.
Yeah.
We rocked you like a hurricane.